So we're here bringing together the amazing photographers that have chronicled hip-hop. I'm Vicky Toback, author of Contact High, A Visual History of Hip-Hop.
I'm Baron Claiborne.
Ernie Panicoli, a.k.a. the Supreme Minister of Culture for the Universal Zulu Nation.
The story of hip-hop's been told in so many different ways, you know, from dissecting lyrics to talking about socioeconomics that led to it. But no one really celebrated this collective of shooters that documented from the start. So that's what we're here to do.
I'll quote Roxanne Chante, who said, rather than tell you all the people that Ernie has shot, she said that if he hasn't shot you, you're not hip-hop. So I don't believe there's anybody hip-hop. I don't mean rap, but I don't believe there's anybody in hip-hop and beyond that I haven't photographed.
Photographers, the cliche is that they're supposed to blend into the background and, you know, you're not supposed to know that they're there.
Well,
and,
I think
you know,
that depends on what kind of photography.
What kind of photography. Yeah. But you know, you always knew Ernie was there. He had that booming voice. He's so tall.
He talks so much shit.
You know, he had a presence. And so he carried himself very respectfully and with a lot of dignity and, you know, and was very intimidating, but was everywhere.
It's funny because if you think about it, nothing really comes into existence without photographers in a funny way. So it's kind of funny because people think of trends, but it really, there has to be a photographer at all of them. And if you look at, you know, any early movement of anyone, sometimes it's just one dude, like one guy saw the value in this thing, or just two. Mm. Now it's different because everyone's a photographer. Everyone has a phone, everyone. So sometimes there's more cameras at events than actual people at the event. So in a weird way, those sorts of things will disappear in a weird way because there's so many photographers everywhere.
I feel like we also live in a time where there's now this generation that don't know otherwise.
Right, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
We are sort of this middle generation that understand what's happening now with the proliferation of images, with, you know, the age of Instagram, with all of this. But we also knew a time when, you know, we were starved for images.
Yeah.
The images that we would see sometimes, you know, would be, you know, the album cover, maybe a magazine cover,
right,
and a press shot.
Yeah.
Three photos total.
Yeah.
That's it. You know, now people can't imagine a world without photography as the language equal to the music. The struggle now for young photographers, and I hear them ask, how do I get that authentic moment? How do I have an interaction be true and raw and, like, vulnerable?
When I teach young photographers, I teach them two things. Number one, because of film and money, I had to look at you 50 ways and take one picture.
Yeah.
Now they take 50 pictures and hope to get one.
Right.
That's one thing. The other thing, and I tell them, and it's religion to me, is that if you see something and you feel it, shoot it.
My name is Danny Hastings. I am a photographer, filmmaker. I have about 150 album covers that I shot during the golden era. A lot of them are like these super classic albums. Enter the Wu, 36 Chambers, Hard to Earn by Gangstar, Capital Punishment, Cuban Links. Well, my entry point was my initiative, right, to, number one, understanding hip hop, and I had a high level of photography, you know, studies. By the age of 19, I already will basically run a whole darkroom. I will develop my own negatives. I will print my own pictures. I will mix my own chemicals. You know, I will not just take a picture, but I will go back to the darkroom, develop the negative, and print my pictures. I was able to offer a different look, a different feel to my pictures. Right? I was not like the type of guy that will walk around with a flash in the camera, you know, and just give you quick snapshots. I was mixing light sources, taking films from like tungsten, shooting daylight, cross-processing film, which was which was like at the beginning of my career, is starting and me being close to the lab, I understood what cross-processing was. You know, being photographically trained, I was able to provide a different perspective, right? And then combine that with the love of hip-hop, I started, you know, looking very quickly at all the albums that I was buying. I was seeing the back like, oh man, these records have an address. Rush Management, Bleecker Street, Sony, 550 Madison. And I'll be like, man, these record companies are like right here, right here in the corner. Right in this corner, you know? So I went and knocked on their doors. I guess nobody told me that I couldn't. When they saw my portfolio, the stuff that I was doing at home, they were like, the first question that the source asked was like, who are these rappers? But I didn't have no rappers. It was all my boys from Queens, from Jackson Heights, from the corner, smoking blunts, you know what I mean? Sipping on 40s, baggy pants, hoodies, you know, like just, you know, rough, rugged, and raw. Yeah. I mean, that's where I, you know, grew up. Where I started finding out with the record companies were through my record collection, I would basically send them a postcard. The first postcard that I sent on House of Pain, I got an album cover right off of that. Before you know it, I was already kind of well known with the music industry. Like, this guy is shooting hip hop and he's shooting artistically. I think at that point, there was a lot of photographers that were afraid of shooting hip hop because, you know, they were getting beat down. You know what I'm saying? They were serving beat downs here and there once in a while. You know, they steal your camera. I'm just saying that shit happened. You know what I mean? It was the 90s. It was not... At any moment, shit would jump off. And I'm not saying just in hip-hop. Punk rock. You know what I'm saying? People were slam dancing. You know, it was aggressive. You know, it was not like, yeah, let me just show up. But nah, man, I was showing up with like... If there was like 10 rappers, I was showing up with like 5 assistants. You know, 8 assistants that, like, you know, that will be like, oh, if shit goes down, it goes down. You know what I mean? And nothing, God forbid, nothing ever happens. But, yeah, there was some stories. Google it, man. There was some stories. Writers getting beat down, photographers getting shit stolen. Nothing never happened. But because I was from the culture, too. My mom had everybody from, you know, La Fania, Celia Cruz, Tito Puente, to Barry White. You know, she would get down with soul, you know, R&B, and you know, like all these different records that when you see those records, they were so art-directed. There was so much thought process in making sure that cover represent well the music. And that was my understanding of album covers, because we didn't have anything but vinyls. You know what I mean? I would say, and then as a kid, I would start getting like rock and roll albums. And now I'm finding out that Jeanette Beckman shot the Police album cover that I had in my collection. And I just told Jeanette, I was like, Jeanette, you don't understand how much your album cover influenced me. I was hand coloring my black and white prints because of your album cover.
Hi everyone, I'm Jeanette Beckman. I'm a photographer. I photographed a lot of hip-hop back in the 80s, right through to around 92. I'm actually from London, and I grew up in London, and I love music, and I started to work for these two papers, Melody Maker and The Face, and, you know, I ended up, it was just the dawn of punk. I came right out of college. I ended up photographing all these seminal punk bands like The Clash, The Sex Pistols, Boy George, The Police, you name it. So I was doing that from like 76 to 82. I think I always knew I was going to be an artist of some sort. First, I really wanted to be like a portrait painter, like a kind of David Hockney. And I grew up, you know, looking in museums and seeing pictures that people painted in the 17th century of, you know, lords on horseback and stuff. And they're, oh, that's what it was like then. And I always loved the idea of documenting things. And I went to art school, and I didn't really think I was good enough at drawing, so I kind of segued into photography. I came out. It was like, you know, 1976, all the punk stuff was happening, and I had my camera. That's the rest is history. I was working for Melody Maker, and one day they said, well, there's this hip-hop review coming to London, and we didn't know what hip-hop was. This was 1982, and I put my hand up and I said, oh, I'll go and photograph it because I'm always looking for something new. And I went to the hotel where these guys were staying just to kind of take, you know, backstage, background pictures. And I started shooting. I saw all these people that looked really amazing, and they had this incredible energy. I started taking pictures of people. You know, I took a picture of a couple of guys crouching in front of a dumpster, and it turned out to be Futura and Dondi. I only found out years later. Took pictures of this big guy, and it turned out to be Afrika Bambaataa. I got the Rocksteady crew. And then I went to the show later, and it was just a mind-blowing, really kind of a renaissance moment for me, because on stage were like breakdancers, graffiti artists, DJs, rappers, Fab Five Freddy. It was an incredible review. Because I was British, you know, and I was a woman, I was a young woman, I feel like they weren't intimidated by me, and I didn't have the, you know, they didn't have really expectations. They were like, well, who are you? What are you doing here? What are you doing in the Bronx? And I was like, well, I'm, you know, I came to take pictures of you. And I would talk to them, and then they would ask me questions, and we'd, that's always how I build up trust, even to this day, taking a photo. You know, I was just a mad fan, and I really like rebel cultures and people doing things outside the box. I shoot a lot of stuff like that. And to be honest, we never really thought about anybody being famous. And in those days, I think in the 80s, you know, leading through to the early 90s, a lot of those artists came from the street, and they weren't really thinking, oh, we're going to be millionaires. They were thinking, we have to say what we have to say. We have to get our music out there. They were really artists coming, you know, all about this kind of small culture that not that many people knew about. You know, Slick Rick coming to my studio. You know, and Slick Rick, he's from London, and I'm from London, and we'd give him some champagne, and we got to get a picture of him, and I have this little spot marked out for him. He steps onto the spot, he puts this little Louis Vuitton bag down on the floor, gets this crazy look on his face, grabs his crotch, he's holding a bottle of champagne, I took the picture. And I mean, that was probably like the second shot I took that day. And it's, to me, it's just so hip-hop. It's like a hip-hop moment. Yeah.